The reason I bring up Masterworks is because they also have a concert. It's not this weekend. It's next weekend, next Saturday at 8 o'clock p.m. It's happening at Hope Lutheran Church on Secor Road in Toledo, and I'm joined for a classical conversation by the group's director, who's been here before talking about previous concerts. We have some beautiful music to talk about today, and that is Timothy Clater. Tim, I got your mic on. Welcome.
Yeah, good to be here, Brad. Thanks for having me.
I might ask you to pull in just a little bit closer to the microphone. There we go. So tell us about this concert. The last time we spoke, you were doing the Radiant Midnight program, which is a wonderful juxtaposition of words. And now you're doing From Darkness into Light.
Indeed, so, yeah. This concert, From Darkness into Light, is continuing our season of Chiaroscuro that we talked about last time, the bright and the dark right next to each other. And in this concert, it focuses on two major works that are about death and resurrection. J.S. Bach Cantata 4, Christlag in Todesbanden, a cantata that was written for Easter, and Rutter's Requiem, which obviously because of the form, talks about death and resurrection.
Yeah, the Requiem Mass for the dead. John Rutter, English composer, has written a lot of beautiful choral anthems.
Indeed,
choral music.
Singable, and his orchestrations are wonderful, but I really think that this piece as a composition is one of his shining moments. It's really great expression and architecture.
Okay. Well, before we get to the Rutter, let's talk about the Bach. You brought in a recording. We're going to play some tracks from that, beginning with the first couple of tracks from the Easter Cantata of Johann Sebastian Bach. Can you introduce it for us?
Yeah, this is a cantata that was written early in his career, probably in 1714, perhaps as an audition piece. And in that audition piece, he was showing that he could do the style that had come before him. So the instrumentation is two violins and two viola parts, which was a little unusual at that time, and the basso continuo. And this cantata is also unusual because it's based solely on a hymn tune, originally a chant, Victime Paschali Laudes, this a plain chant for Easter, turned into a hymn by Martin Luther, and then turned into a cantata by Bach.
Which makes sense, since Bach was such a devout Lutheran.
Indeed, right. And I'm glad you bring up that point about devout, because I'm a big fan of Bach. I may have told you in a previous time together here that I majored in both math and music in college.
Oh. Well, Bach is your go-to composer, then.
He is, yes, but not just because of the mathematical side, although he's brilliant at counterpoint and the structure of this cantata is symmetrical, but also because of the expressive side of Bach. He uses that structure of the cantata to highlight what's most theologically central, that middle movement. Mm-hmm. And he also uses extraordinary text painting to express something. And for instance, in these first two movements of the cantata, the sinfonia that opens, just the instruments, really begins with a burial. It's before the sun has risen on Easter. And then when the second movement, which is the first verse of the hymn, begins, it's like the soprano's entrance at the very beginning is a pinprick of light. And the figures in the violins and even in the voices are short and indistinct in some ways, like we can't quite see into the tomb yet. And it goes in the way that Bach does. He'll put the hymn tune in long notes in one voice, in this case the sopranos, while the other voices decorate that. And in those decorations, he also paints the text, just a couple of instances of this. When he sets the word Leben in German, which means life. He uses this characteristic rhythm, pum, pa, pa, pum, pa, pa, pum. And we'll see this passed along like dancing. It expressed for him life. And when he sets the word in German, Freilich, which means happy, he does ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, these kind of bubbling 16th patterns.
That's how I always express happiness.
Exactly.
Just bounce around and with a little
with
bubbly.
Coloratura. Yeah. That's right. That's the
exactly.
way it is. So I think these first two are a great example. And at the end, each verse of the hymn ends with the word hallelujah. And the end of this verse, he multiplies that hallelujah and takes us into cut time. So it goes essentially twice as fast for all these resounding hallelujahs.
Well, we all know what hallelujah means.
Indeed.
Right. Well, let's listen to a couple of tracks here from the beginning of the Easter Cantata, BWV number 4 in the catalog of Bach's works, Christlag in Todesbanden. This is from the Monteverdi Choir, the English Baroque soloist, John Elliott Gardner conducting, here on FM 91. ¶¶ Sinfonia and the opening chorus from the Easter Cantata of Johann Sebastian Bach. That's a recording from the Monteverdi Choir, English Baroque Soloists, and conducted by John Elliott Gardner here on FM 91. My guest for this hour is Timothy Clater, director of Masterworks Chorale, and they are performing this cantata along with the Requiem by John Rutter next Saturday evening, March 24th at 8 o'clock p.m. That's a week from tomorrow. It'll be at Hope Lutheran Church. You can find more information at masterworkstoledo.com. Also, you can get tickets through the Valentine Theater box office, and that phone number is 419-242-2787. Tim, tell us a little bit about the overall concept going into this concert, because you're doing it right before Holy Week, and you're talking a lot about, you know, some deep, dark things, but ultimately the story, the message is one of hope and lightness.
Right, right. Yeah, I love that about this season, in fact, and it was great to be able to schedule this concert to, you know, a time of the church year that fits these ideas. But, you know, I'd like to point out that for me, the theme is not just about death and resurrection, though that's clearly in the music. The real and current darknesses that each of us experience are not just about mortality and the deaths that we confront are often metaphorical. Perhaps the losing of a job brings doubt or hardship. A serious illness dims our hope. Maybe brokenness or pain in a significant relationship plague us. And I think that this music helps us confront that. We're trying to move from these darker things into lighter things. And I'd like to plug a show that broadcasts on this station, On Being, with Krista Tippett. I don't know if you've heard that before.
Yeah,
one of my favorites.
I work here, you know that, right?
Indeed, okay. Yes, okay. Well, Krista interviews these thinkers and speakers, and David Stendel-Rast is a Benedictine monk who talks about handling anxiety in a way with gratitude that helps us move through those dark times into lighter times. And I really commend that episode to listeners, and I commend them also to find our newsletter on the website, masterworkstoledo.com, in which I talk about some of this stuff in the last issue. And I talk about how this music could help us in these hard times move from darkness into light in our own lives. And that's what we're hoping for.
Well, certainly the music of Bach can serve a therapeutic purpose for many people who give it a chance, who will listen to it. I brought one of the arias from the St. Matthew Passion to my own church a couple of weeks ago, not with me singing, but with somebody else singing. Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful aria, that aria of Joseph of Arimathea, who is, you know, burying Christ.
Yeah.
Mache dich mein Herz und rein.
My favorite, my
heart
favorite
pure.
Of the piece, indeed.
Which really was, for Bach, kind of a personal testament to his own faith. He's saying, you know, make a safe place in my heart for Christ, right? So that was his testament of faith. And as such, the music is even more beautiful and spiritual than almost anything else that he wrote.
Yeah, he is deeply spiritual and deeply theological. And I know we talked about maybe listening to verse 3 next, but on that, it fits better the topic that you just got to if we listen to movement 6, the fifth verse, because it's a little bit more theological. This wouldn't be apparent to a listener, but Bach is so theological in his writing that he took that hymn tune, which was originally in D minor, which is a flat key, and decided for this cantata to put it in E minor, which is a sharp key. And I believe it's not a stretch to say that he did this because that sharp symbol in music is a lot like a cross. He chooses this key for cross-related things. The B minor mass, for instance, in the Crucifixus, it's in E minor also. And so he is really trying to convey his theology in what he writes here. And in this movement, the fifth verse, it's in this sharp key. And when he has the basses sing the word Kreuz, cross, he has them do a figure that involves additional sharps and also makes the shape of a cross on the piece of paper, on the score. And the other interesting thing about this has to do with death and the one who brings death, the Würgler, he calls him later in the hymn. In this movement, Bach paints that word death with a very suddenly low pitch for the basses, a big leap downward, as if this death is now buried itself. And right afterward, he speaks about resurrection victory by making the basses sing the word Virgler, or strangler, who has been conquered now, on this high D for a very long time, which makes me think perhaps it even got the sound of strangling.
Yeah, right.
But
maybe so. That's why singers love Bach so much.
That's right.
Well, let's listen to it. Another excerpt here from the Easter Cantata of Johann Sebastian Bach here on FM 91. Verse 5, an excerpt from the Easter Cantata of Johann Sebastian Bach. That's a recording from the Monteverdi Choir and the English Baroque Soloists, directed by John Elliott Gardner. I'm Brad Cresswell with you for Afternoon Classics, about 34 minutes into the 3 o'clock hour. I'm joined today for a classical conversation by Timothy Clater. Tim is the director of the Masterworks Chorale of Toledo, and they're performing this work next weekend. It's at 8 o'clock at Hope Lutheran Church, and you can find more information at masterworkstoledo.com. Now, Tim, you have another work on this concert as well, and that is the Rutter Requiem.
Indeed, indeed. And what a great pairing. And this piece about the death and resurrection by Rutter is also expressive in some of the ways that the Bach is. This is a very old form, this Requiem Mass, and the text for the Mass is prescribed, but as you know, composers have long made compositions that were a more personal expression. They use texts perhaps that are outside the realm of those prescribed by the church. Heinrich Schütz, way back right. in the early Baroque, you set the words that the prince had prescribed should be written on his coffin, for instance, or Brahms uses his own words in German. And this one by Rutter includes texts, most from Common Book of Prayer or other church sources, but it makes it a more personal take on these matters. Also, you can tell by what the composer chooses to include in this composition, what they feel about it, what their beliefs are. You're familiar with Berlioz and Verdi Requiems, and even Mozart, that emphasize the dies irae, the day of wrath, the fire right. that will come, the judgment. But then,
especially Verdi.
Yeah. And great music that is, yeah. and dramatic. But I think it also says something about what they believe. And composers like Fauré or Brahms, to a certain extent, and this Rutter Requiem, for instance, really emphasize comfort and light. And that's why I like it on this program particularly.
Okay. Well, we're going to hear the second movement here, Out of the Deep, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. This opens with a great cello solo and expresses this longing for salvation.
The City of London Sinfonia, directed by the composer John Rutter, the cello that Tim Clater mentioned, is Stephen Orton on this recording. An excerpt from the Requiem of John Rutter here on FM 91. An interesting excerpt from the Requiem by John Rutter, the second movement, which comes after the traditional Requiem Aeternum opening there, Out of the Deep, the title of that, in English, the English version of the Latin De Profundis from the Psalm 130, which is not typically heard in the Requiem
right,
Mass.
Right, yeah. And that's an instance of Rutter putting his own personal imprint on this composition.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Timothy Clater, who is director of Masterworks Chorale. They are performing a concert next weekend at 8 o'clock at Hope Lutheran Church next Saturday evening. And on the program is the work that we heard earlier in the hour, the Bach Easter Cantata, but also this Requiem of John Rutter, which is really just a wonderful piece, and all of it, especially what we just heard, really reflecting this whole theme that you have going this season of from darkness into light.
Mm-hmm.
and that the way that that cello kind of starts way down low in the depths and then emerges.
Exactly. And within that movement, there was a little bit of light, but it was mainly focused on that dark side. And I think it's important that we embrace that and affirm that, have that experience, because then can follow this next movement. The Sanctus, fourth movement of the work, is the polar opposite. It's bright as can be.
Well, let's listen to that now. This is the Sanctus. Again, this is the Requiem of John Rutter. The Cambridge Singers and the City of London Sinfonia, directed by the composer, here on FM 91. Just a short little excerpt there. We heard the Sanctus from the Requiem by John Rutter. The Cambridge Singers and the City of London Sinfonia, directed by the composer, here on FM 91. My guest today is Timothy Clater, who is director of the Masterworks Chorale. They're going to be singing this next Saturday evening at Hope Lutheran Church in their Classics Concert. And Tim, we had an interesting conversation during that music where you mentioned a little snippet of text. Kind of an important word that he left out of that Sanctus throughout the piece.
Right, and with some composers, it clearly indicates their belief when they leave things out, like Schubert leaves out some phrases of the Credo in his Mass in G. Well, here, Rutter has left out of the Sanctus, where we would say, heaven and earth are full of your glory. He has only heaven. He still uses the verb are, heaven, in Latin. So he says, pleni sunt caeli gloria tua. So only the heaven.
Yeah.
So I don't know
heaven
if he meant...
Heaven are full of thy glory.
Heaven are full of thy glory. I don't know if he meant it, that he didn't think there was glory
here on
earth.
You may be onto something.
But there it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, Google is our friend. We'll have to do a little
we'll find out.
Investigating.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to be performing this with an orchestra, right?
Yeah. Full orchestral complement. The Rutter Requiem is actually published in two different versions. Mm-hmm. You can do it with principally organ plus a few key instruments like that cello of movement 2 and the oboe of movement 6, glockenspiel and harp. Or you can do full strings and winds, and we're doing that fuller version. We're cramming ourselves into the chancel area there, and I think it's going to be extraordinarily beautiful.
Well, really. I know you have your collage concert coming up in the summer, but this is a great big opportunity for, you know, a full-on classical concert.
Yes, a beautiful space to do it in, and great players and a good choir for this.
You want to play another track from the Requiem, the Agnus Dei, or Lamb of God.
Right, yeah. So here he combines both Latin and English texts in one movement, and it starts with this plea for mercy, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant them rest. That's the Requiem version.
Now, he's not missing any words in this
one, is he?
He is
not. No,
okay,
he clearly aligns with all the regular theology here, yeah. But then he also quotes some psalms. Man that is born of a woman hath but a short time to live and is full of misery. So this starts in this dark place, but farther on into the movement, he quotes the very comforting biblical text, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So it takes us from death all the way to resurrection.
And this is great music for Lent, by the way.
It is, right. And it comes on this day before Palm Sunday, right before Holy Week begins. So it is fitting in that way, too. What's especially interesting about this Requiem on the same program as the Bach. As I said earlier, the Bach is based on that plain chant, Victime Paschali Laudes. We'll hear in this movement, when the choir gets to the words, I am the resurrection and the life, Rutter puts that very tune, that plain chant tune, in the solo flute up above, which you would easily miss, but here he's connecting that I am the resurrection and the life to Easter by this musical gesture.
If you go to the concert and you hear that tune, raise your hand.
That's right.
When you're there. And Tim will know. He may not see you if he's turned the other way, but you'll hear the sound
you
of all those hands raising.
Definitely listen to it. Yeah, it's a great connection between the two pieces.
Well, let's listen to this Agnus Dei from the Requiem by John Rutter. John Rutter conducting the City of London Sinfonia with the Cambridge Singers here on FM 91. Well, definitely a message of hope there at the end of that Agnus Dei. That is an excerpt from the Requiem by John Rutter. We heard a recording directed by John Rutter with the City of London Sinfonia and the Cambridge Singers, that music, being performed right here in our community at Hope Lutheran Church a week from tomorrow, March 24th at 8 o'clock p.m., from the Masterworks Chorale. You can find more information at masterworkstoledo.com or call up the box office at 419-242-2787. My guest has been Timothy Clater, and really wonderful music. You know, we've talked, Tim, a lot about the mechanics that go into it and a lot of the kind of the peeling the onion away and finding all of these interesting things in the music, but I think the most important thing is just the idea of sitting there, letting it wash over you, and really appreciating the music for what it is.
Yeah, and feeling what's there. I think this is music for hard times, and I hope that our listeners will be moved and comforted.
Yeah, yeah, wonderful. Well, Tim Clater, thanks for coming in today, having this little classical conversation. Best of luck with the concert next week. You say it's with orchestra as well?
Right, with orchestra.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be a great, wonderful concert. MasterworksToledo.com. And again, Tim, thanks for joining us here on FM 91.
Thanks, Brad.